Quello che io di Pepper New Dog, when I first met him, and my wife and daughter brought him home, very impressed with how intelligent he was. And but today I learned just how intelligent he was because today he gave us his doctoral thesis on why he should be kicked out of the house. And it all started back on a Thursday night. Karen and I were doing what we normally do on evenings between, oh, say, 8:30 and 9 o'clock. We walk around Lawrence Park with the dog and in his final walk of the evening. And so, but this Thursday night, you know, it's garbage night in Lawrence Park. Lisa, on our side of Iroquois, is garbage night, Thursday night, Friday morning, and we collect it. Well, we enjoy this fragrant aroma coming from our neighbor's trash can, very strong. We could smell it from across the street, and thankfully not in our house, not that it wasn't that strong, but we could smell it from across the street. It's like, wow. That's pretty good. And so I figured it had to be like rotting fish guts or something because it was just very strong. Well, this morning I went to go to Dunkin' Donuts with a dog and took him with me to go get a coffee and let him out of the truck. And he said, you're coming in the house. I'm like, come on, buddy. And he gets right to the door and he's like, you know what? I'd be naughty. He goes running across the street, sniffing, 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 and then he leads all the way right to the spot where I noticed our neighbors had washed their trash can out. And he was rubbing all over his bag in it. I picked him up, and I could smell what it was from the trash can emanating into my nostrils. And I thought, boy, you are in trouble now, mister. So I took him up there and washed all his sins away, so to speak. And I realized why the Lord cannot have sin in his presence, because I stunk like the fish guts and such. So it was, but anyhow, so that's my little story, so to speak. And that's what we got to do early this morning. I washed him as my wife walked him, got him dry, and combed him. So it was an enjoyable morning before we came here. So let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you and praise you for your great love that you have blessed us with. And Father, we just want to look into your word today. And Father, we pray that we would not just have a good message, or as our brother Aaron reminded us a couple of weeks, just have a good message, Father. But Lord, that your word would truly speak to our hearts and Lord, inspire the speaker. And Lord, I just pray that you give us all ears, myself included, to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. We ask this now. Your Son's most worthy and precious name. We ask this. Well, much has been made in the last couple of weeks concerning encouragement. And I just kind of wanted to piggyback on that, and so my thoughts were such, and appreciated all the what the brothers have sent out as far as verses in the Word, and I appreciated that, enjoyed it greatly. I also it's caused me to think of these verses as well. And I think we're commanded in Scripture to, it says in Ephesians 5 and verse 19, to speak to one another. Well, I don't want to try to quote it because I always mess up when I do that. So we'll turn to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. It says, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, sing, make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And so it is part of what we do when we gather here on Sundays, and also through the week via Texas, is going on. And but also as we have opportunity on Wednesday nights, and if we have the opportunity to gather together in one another's homes or in other social settings to encourage one another. We have quickly witnessed in the last few years, especially, that the world doesn't offer encouragement to us, does not offer anything to lead us on to the Lord. We even have a song and just thought of it now, otherwise I might have pulled it up for us to read. It's in the red hymnal. If you care to look for it later, you don't have to now, but I know the name of the hymn is "Am I a Soldier of the Cross?" And it talks about how the world does not, you know, help us onward to the Lord, help us in our walk to the Lord. And so when we come here, we are encouraged to keep on, to press on, to keep serving the Lord and not to grow faint and grow weary. In fact, Proverbs, I think it's 25 and verse 11, it tells us that a word fitly spoken are like apples of gold and settings of silver. And so our words really do carry weight. Our words really can encourage one another to keep on and to carry on. But we also know the power of words can also be destructive, to tear down, to rip apart. And so we always have to be careful that what we are doing, granted, we are encouraged to rebuke if the situation arises where we need to be rebuked, but we need to do so gently and in a spirit of love. We also need to do so, it also says in the psalm, in that same psalm, in fact, maybe not psalm, Proverbs, sorry. Let's turn there to Proverbs 25, please. Well, bear with me because I'm using a different Bible than what I usually read from, and the chapters, space-wise, as far as the pages, are much closer together, so I flip way past on them sometimes. Back one. Yeah, 25, verse 12, it said, "Like an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold is a wise man's rebuke to a listening ear." That's the qualifier there, a listening ear. And we all know that we can talk to people, we can share things with people, we can offer advice and we can offer counsel. But if someone does not have a listening ear, sometimes that counsel may go unheeded. It is on that person to hear what it is needs to be said. But I want to look at two portions, and I think both were mentioned in the text messages that were going around. One, probably don't even need to turn to it because we're all familiar with it, but we'll turn to it, Acts 4. This is, of course, Barnabas. But we'll start in verse 32 of Acts chapter 4. It says, "All the believers were one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold the field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet." And as I read that, can I be a Joseph? Can I be a Barnabas? Can I walk in the room and people go, "Ah, there's Pete. That brother really encourages me." You don't have to say what you think. I might be afraid of the answer. But just to be known as a son of encouragement, to come into the room, come into the building, and you already encourage someone because of what you've done, what your character is like, what it is that you do. And let me just say this. I know firsthand that not having money, not being able to pay bills, not being able to take care of the things that you do, that is a burden. That is a burden. And so and we're going to get into burdens here in just a minute. And so to see that there was no one had any need because of making sure everyone took care of each other. This isn't communism. Bible is not supporting or condoning communism, because that would be number one. That would be forced. This is willingly. And it says from time to time, those who own lands and houses sold them, just to make sure that there were no needs in the body of Christ there. I want to look at another type of burden here. And I got a little nervous when Brother Sam shared this in the text messages. Acts chapter 15, if you will. Let's start in the first verse. And we know this from the book of Galatians, talking about returning to the law, mixing Christianity with the law. And we can't have both of them together. But it says, some then came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. When you think about that, you think about if what did Paul tell the jailer in Philippi? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He didn't say, now you got to go out and you got to get circumcised. And well, what day do I have to do? I'm not 8 days old anymore. And what part of the law do you have to keep? No, it is Christ alone who saves. There is nothing you can do to earn your salvation. There's nothing you can do to lose it, but there's nothing you have to do to maintain it. Now, that said, I love this illustration. You know, we have all heard the phrase, if it looks like a duck, it walks like a duck, it talks like a duck, it has to be a duck. A duck never gets confused about what it has to do to convince you that it's a duck. It just does what ducks do. When it's out on land, it's walking, it's waddling, and you know, when it gets into the water, it starts swimming, and you don't see it, but its feet are flapping furiously underneath the water, and it just does what it does naturally. As we're reminded in James, you say you have faith without works. I'll show you my faith by my works. Works should come naturally as a derivative from our salvation. It isn't something that we have to hope for. Prove to everybody, I got to make sure I do this. It should be a natural reaction. Your natural inclination, once you're saved, is to want to tell other people about Jesus Christ. That doesn't have to be taught to you. If just a way to illustrate that, if you go to a great restaurant and you really enjoy the food, does anybody have to tell you, does the waiter say, now, make sure you go and tell everybody about us? No, you willfully offer that information. You know, I was at this place and the prime rib was excellent. It was the best I've ever had. And you tell that. Same way when we come to Christ, have you found anything better than what's in here? And so the same way we explain to people the good news that is in the gospel of Christ, we don't have to be told, we don't have to be taught. Now, we have to be taught a doctrine. We have to be taught what things are acceptable, what things are not acceptable. Obviously, in the Church of Corinth, they were not adhering to good doctrine. They were celebrating their love for a brother who was living in sin. That's not love. But I want to look further down to the burden lifted here. It says, then in verse 22, then the apostles, the elders with the whole church decided to choose some of their own men and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. They chose Judas, called Barsabbas, and Silas, two men who were leaders among the brothers. With them, we sent the following letter. The apostles and elders, you brothers, to the Gentile believers in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia, greetings. We have heard that some went out from us without our authorization and deserted, troubling your minds by what they said. So we all agreed to choose some men and send them to you with our dear friends Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are sending Judas and Silas to confirm by word of mouth what we are writing. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to burden you with anything beyond the following requirements. You are to abstain from food sacrificed to idols, from blood, from the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. You will do well to avoid these. Farewell. So it says the men were sent off and went down to Antioch, where they gathered the church together and delivered the letter. The people read it and were glad for its encouraging message. Judas and Silas, who themselves were prophets, said much to encourage and strengthen the brothers. After spending time there, they were sent off by the brothers with blessing and peace to return to those who had sent them. But Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, where they and many others taught and preached the word of the Lord. So we see that it is Christ who brings liberty, and we see that it is Christ who frees from burdens, that men do not have the right or the ability to put on to others what Christ has freed from. Think of when Lazarus was called out of the tomb by the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he instruct the believers there to do? To take the grave clothes off, to unburden him from what he was wrapped in. When he freed the woman of her infirmities, he freed her from that. He took the burden away from her. When he went to gatherings and there was the maniac there who was out of his mind and who was demon-possessed, they tried to put chains on him to restrain him. What did Christ do? He freed him of his burden of the possession that he was under, and freed him from his chains. And when it says that when they found him, he was in his right mind. And so when Christ frees us, it is not our duty to make other believers bound to what we think Christians should be. Now, does that mean, am I saying in any way that believers should not hold to a code of ethics, are they free to sin? No, not at all, not at all. But I just want to look at Matthew 23 and see and make sure that we're careful, that we're not presupposing any things that we think other believers need to do. I'll give an example. I had a rule in there, and it was mostly for my sake. I'll be honest. The no movies Saturday night. No movies on Saturday nights. My wife and kids can tell you that. Why? Because I found out one day we watched a VeggieTales video the night before, and I'm sitting in the Lord's Supper singing the song for this VeggieTales video. So that is it. Not doing that anymore. And you could say, you know, VeggieTales is harmless, but you know, when you're sitting there going, I'm so not appropriate, even if it is somewhat harmless. It doesn't get one's mind prepared for what you're about to do. nobody would go, if they're planning on going to a trip, would start packing things they're going to need for 6 months ahead, would they? No, they would pack it for that trip they're about to go on. And the same thing, when we pack our minds full of things, we tend to think of those things. And so I want to make sure that I'm presenting this is, we don't want to burden our fellow believers with legalism. We have freedom. We have freedom. Now, Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians, he says, you have freedom, but not all things edify. Not all things build up. So you have to discern for yourself, is this something that is really going to draw me closer to Christ? And isn't that really the key? Is we're not supposed to go in and inspect how everybody lives. Now, if we see open sin, that has to be addressed. Has to be addressed. And probably has to be disciplined as well. But nonetheless, just because you and I might not agree with someone, what someone's doing, they kind of have to learn that lesson themselves. And I just want to look at Matthew 23 here. And it says in the first verse, when Jesus said to the crowds of his disciples, the teachers of the law, the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So you must obey them and do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy loads and put them on a man's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. That's what I want to look at. Is do we put heavy loads on one another? Expectations that we ourselves are willing to put on ourselves. Do we hold people to higher standards than what we would hold ourselves to? And I have to think of my own self and with my children. Possibly one of the reasons you don't see two of them here anymore is because of what expectations I put on them. So what we are to do to encourage one another, let me back up just a little bit. Christian walk has been compared to a race, right? We've heard that before. It's like a marathon. Have you ever seen the pictures of what marathon runners' feet look like after they're done running? It barely resembles feet. Bloody, blisters that have been torn open again and made new blisters and blisters again on top of that. Bruised, just horrible looking feet and the legs are shot. Again, I started out by saying this world is not here to encourage us onward to God. You and I, our job for one another is to encourage one another. Say, keep going, keep going. Get fell, come on. Get up, come on, keep going, keep going. I know you get screwed up. Keep going, onward to the Lord, onward to the Lord. How discouraging would it be if somebody was running along, you've seen the people along the path go, hey, you're doing it wrong, idiot. Okay, so maybe I shouldn't say that word. But you know the attitude I'm trying to share here. We need to encourage one another. That doesn't mean that, again, I want to be crystal clear. That doesn't mean if we see sin, that if we see open rebellion or someone running the wrong way, if you don't stop and say, hey, there needs to be correction. There needs to be turning. You need to repent and follow the Lord. You need to go in the right direction. Okay, that needs to be done. But we need to be loving. We need to make sure we are looking out for one another. And again, not as it says here, tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders. And then we ourselves must be willing. If need be, put an arm around the other brother and sister to help them along the way. Well, good news for you is you're all going to get out early because I knew this was going to be a shorter message. I didn't realize it would be this short, really. But it's all that I have to share this morning. And it's on my heart to want to encourage you. I want to be a good example. And I want to, as much as I can, encourage you all to keep going. Put one more foot in front of the other. Keep going, even if your walk with the Lord becomes a crawl. Keep going. It's not going to get easier here, folks. It's going to get harder as we move along, as we get closer to the day when the Lord returns. So with that, let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We thank you and we praise you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us all that is in heaven. Lord, the fact that he seated us there, that's encouraging. Lord, that we're here in this temporary tent. This is not our home. We're only passing through, as we've been saying. Lord, help us to live that way. Help us not to grow too strong or weak, too strong of a lover and a passion to this world, because this world is fleeting. You're going to make a new one. So, Lord, may we walk worthy of that new world, that calling that we have. Father, may we do the work of an evangelist and share Christ with the world around us. We thank you, Christ, for this.